Welcome to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. We are so excited by all God has done through ACC in such a short period of time. We have heard countless stories of people discovering a brand new perspective on Jesus and being strengthened in their faith through what God is doing through our local church in Auburn, Alabama. If you or someone you know has been impacted by the ministry of ACC and would like to invest in all God is doing in and through our church family, we want to invite you to visit our website at auburncommunitychurch.com and click the Give tab to partner with us in seeing the love of Jesus change our community and our world. Thank you for partnering with us to help build a church without walls. We hope you enjoy this message.
You know, for some of you right now in this moment, you're like, wow, Miles isn't preaching. Dang it. But it's okay. I promise it's going to be okay. I'm so, so thankful for the opportunity once again to be here, to preach the word, to get to come out of the in front of the guitar and be standing here preaching the word. Miles has been killing it the last few weeks, few months, like hasn't had a break, has been just going through scripture week in and week out. And I am blessed beyond measure to, other than really his family, I get more time with him, get to speak, talk to him the most, and to hear what he goes through week in and week out, just in his soul, and what his family goes through as well. Because when you preach the word as powerfully and as truthfully as Miles does week in and week out, you have a huge target on your back, and your whole family does too. And so it's an honor. Thank you so much. But I don't look like Miles. Miles dresses like me sometimes. And right now in this moment, I mean, you get me. You get Matt Cole. You get puffy vests, skinny jeans, and Velcro shoes. Yeah, I said Velcro shoes. I'm wearing Velcro shoes. I walked in. I bought them in Atlanta a couple weeks ago because Auburn needs to get on the fashion game. There's nowhere to shop here. For guys. And so I walk in the house and Caitlin goes, do you want your sippy cup? Do you want your? So funny. My wife's got jokes. So you get me. I don't look like I could open a pastry shop in Philadelphia. It's just me. So I wish we videoed these, you know, this is so good. It's going to be a great day. So That is awesome. So this is the third week in our series called The Last Letter. We are in 2 Timothy, Paul's last letter, if you didn't know by the title of our series, and it's written to Timothy. Paul is in prison, and this time he's not getting out. Paul will be killed. He will be martyred for his faith after many times of being arrested, many times of being beaten. Many times being threatened, Paul now knows this is the end of the road, and I got to get all the info I can to Timothy of how to do this, how to pass my mantle of leadership to him as he continues to build the new church. And so Miles, last week, unbelievable message talking about remembering Jesus Christ, challenged us with three things: to be strong in grace, clear about faith, and to be known by our love. Paul is saying that, challenging that to Timothy, but here at ACC, we believe that, yes, there is an intended purpose from God through the author Paul specifically to Timothy. That is a letter written to Timothy. It is not a letter written to you. It is not a letter written to me. Literally, Miles and I had this discussion this week. If we had come up to Paul, time traveled, and said, Paul, this is what you're writing is scripture. Paul probably would have been like, dude, that is heresy. This is just a letter to my boy Timmy. Like, this is just a letter to talk to him, just me and him. But little did he know that God, in his providence, in his greatness, in his majesty, was penning the words that would encourage and build the church for thousands and thousands of years through a letter. And so we're on this side, and so we do believe here at ACC that, yes, God intended to write through Paul to Timothy, but God also knew, because his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts, that it was going to continue to build the church, and it was going to be spoken from this stage on November 18th, 2018. And so we need to understand, you know, the context. We need to understand the purpose. Our goal in Bible study is to get to why was this written, who was it written to, for what purpose. And so here today, We move on in our series. We're in chapter 3 today. So if you would turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read the whole thing, 17 verses. I'm going to read as fast as I can. So here we go. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. Miles always gives me the great sections of scriptures to bring to you. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins, are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. They're always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Yannes and Yambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, Timothy, you know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Before I continue, I do want to pray real quick. Father, thank you so much for this moment. This is a lot to handle. Father, you are so clear in your word, and I pray that you would make it clear to all of us in this room. Your intention, your heart. Would you teach us? Would you open our eyes to see you? Would you open our ears to hear you, and our minds, our souls to know you in this moment? I pray that I would lean on you and not even my study of this scripture, but your Holy Spirit in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. So this week's message is called God Breathed. God Breathed. This is quite a passage. This is quite a passage. And some of you are thinking, I mean, you have to be. We read the first five verses and you're like, man, I'm so glad I came to church today. This world is awful. Matt, you are so encouraging. Thank you so much. We're going to go to Bow and Arrow now. Which, by the way, we're going tonight, hopefully, for dinner. Are they open? I hope they are, because I really want to go. But I've heard it's great. But you're thinking, you're like, what, the last days? Well, are we getting apocalyptic here? Like, what is happening? Paul here starts out with this list of how people are going to be in the last days. And I don't know about you, but it's a pretty appropriate list. And I look around the world I live in, and I'm going, oh my goodness, Paul is so wise. So he's got this wise and prophetic moment where he's saying, hey, look, Timothy, this is what you're up against, bro. Like, I'm leaving. I'm not going to be here much longer. You've leaned on me. You're my protege, but I'm not going to be here. And this is what you have to deal with. And Paul says, it's the last days. The last days was marked with Jesus' death and resurrection. And so now we currently live in the last days. And Miles has said this from our stage. And I agree. We have talked about this so much, 101, that we believe we are closer today than any generation before us to the return of Jesus Christ. And so Paul's saying, hey, it's going to be tough. Did you read that list? Yikes. You are going to come up against so many issues and problems, and it's not even going to be your fault, but that's just how people are going to be. I mean, he says, people are going to love themselves more than anything or anyone. Seen that. People are going to love money. See that. People are so proud. People are abusive. People are disobedient to their parents. Middle school, high schoolers, welcome to the message. People are ungrateful and entitled. People are going to be unholy. Nothing about their lives is going to be set apart for God's glory. People are going to lack love. People are going to be unable to forgive. They're going to lack forgiveness. People are going to talk terribly about one another. That sounds a little too much like the church. People are not going to have self-control. People are just going to be brutal. He uses the word brutal to one another. People are no longer going to love anything good. People are going to be treacherous. People are going to be rash, going to lack total wisdom. They're not going to have wisdom. People are going to be worshipers and lovers of pleasure over God. You see, the issue in the early church was there were so many people that had a form of godliness but denied its power. That from the outside, they may have looked like they had it together, but they were just whitewashed tombs. On the inside, full of death. And so Paul is saying, hey, just know this, that there's terrible times coming ahead, but please, you in this room, please stick with me. We're not staying there. There is hope here. There is joy here. We are moving forward in this moment. Paul continues, and we need to understand Scripture. Like, we need to walk through this to understand it. We don't want to gloss over it. Paul moves forward, and he says, there are these people that I'm describing, these false teachers, the people in this world who are terrible, they are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Let that be a warning to us today. Just as Yannis and Yambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They're men of depraved minds who are far from the faith, and they're rejected as far as the faith is concerned. But they won't get very far because their folly is going to be made clear to everyone. Paul's saying, even though you're going to come up against these people, and even though you're going to experience so many people who are terrible, you need to know that it's going to be okay because they're already rejected by the faith. And let that be a challenge to us as well. I pray in Jesus' name that I would never be someone who could be described on this list. That no one who is close to Christ would ever be tempted to look at me and go, ooh, he may be rejected by the faith. But that I would be accepted by God. I know I am. I know I am. And yes, do I struggle? Do you struggle with this list of things? Absolutely. But we know that this list doesn't end there. That Christ has come and he has said, delete all, and has made us whole. And so Paul describes, this is so interesting. He says they're the kind of men who worm their way into homes. This is so interesting that Paul uses that language because it's so sneaky and so divisive. And what Paul's talking about here is these false teachers. The early church oftentimes, more often than not, did not have fancy buildings or anything. They weren't there yet. This is new, right? This is brand new. And so they would meet in homes. It'd be more like house churches. They didn't have awesome conference centers and lights to meet in. They were just meeting in homes. And as was the custom of the time, the men would go to their trades during the day, and the women would be at home taking care of the household. And the false teachers knew this. The people who were twisting the gospel here and there. We've talked about the Gnostics from stage before, who would just twist the gospel and make it not true. They would be trying to find people to sway in the early church. And so they would go visit the homes when the husbands were not there. They would knock on the door and they would talk to the wife who was there, and they would try to sway them, since their husband was not there, to speak for the family. And so Paul is saying, hey, like, those are the kind of guys I'm talking about. He even talks about he mentions two names here, Yannis and Yambres. Some of you probably read that. You said, just as Janice and Jambres, it's Yannis and Yambres. It's okay. They are actually not mentioned in Scripture. They're in extra-biblical sources. They would have been present when Moses stood before Pharaoh, and they would have been the magicians who were trying to fool Pharaoh into thinking that, no, that's not God's power. It's actually, we can do this too. If you've seen The Prince of Egypt, please go see it. It's one of the best discipleship materials you can put in front of your child. It's incredible. Wonderful. Whitney Houston at her finest. I mean, unbelievable. Anyways, He's saying, hey, just like those guys, just this has been happening since Moses. Like there have been people trying to pervert the truth of the power of God. And they are trying to make their staff look like a snake. They're trying to turn the blood, the water into blood. But eventually, the magicians ran out of their little magic and God won and God prevailed. And so Paul uses them as an example. He said, hey, just that like them, so long ago, Timothy, are these men coming up against you now? But guess what? It doesn't matter because as far as the faith is concerned, they're rejected anyways. They're fools and they will be made to look like fools sometime. Maybe not today, but sometime they will be made to look like fools. And so Paul is warning Timothy, hey, be aware, watch out. Things are happening. Life is crazy. Everyone's gone crazy. Everybody just calm down. Okay? So then Paul continues in verse 10. He's talking here about, hey, continue in my teaching. You've seen how I've lived. You know how I lived. You've seen my example. You've seen how I have been persecuted. And Paul mentions three specific places, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. And the reason he does is because those were areas around which Timothy would have grown up. And so Timothy knew, he was like, oh man, that is bad. Like I know these areas and that is bad. And Paul says, but God rescued me from all of them. Talking back to a Psalm of David there. God has rescued me from it all. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life is going to go through things like I've gone through. So he's preparing Timothy. He's like, hey, you're young. Let me tell you, let me go ahead and guarantee you, Timmy, if I will, that you're going to go through difficult things. You've seen what I've gone through. You have seen it. You've heard about it. And you are going to go through the same things. And again, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. How often does it seem like we as believers are going through things and the people that we know don't care about God at all are just raking in the money, the opportunity, they're not getting sick, we're the ones getting sick, and you're going, what in the world? Everything's happening to me, and I know Jim Bob doesn't care, and he's getting blessed. That is here and now. But they're deceiving themselves. And God has enlightened us to the truth of who he is. And that in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I've overcome the world. Amen. There's sickness now, there won't be later. There's pain now, there won't be later. There's hopelessness now. Well, you don't have to have that now. There's hope now, not later. Everything Christ has promised us is true. All the promises of God are yes in him. So let the people who are deceived be deceived because they will be found out soon enough. He says, but as for you, Timothy, I'm talking to you now. Continue in what you've learned, have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Paul mentions his mom and grandmother earlier in the message. His father, in the passage, his father was a Greek, but he was raised up in Jewish tradition by his mother, Lois and Eunice, his mother and grandmother. He says, you know who you've learned it from? Me, your grandmother, your mom. You have a legacy of faith. So for you in the room, be encouraged. Hey, if you grew up in a household that feared God from the beginning, amazing. What a gift. If you didn't, but you have people around you who have come before you and said, hey, I've lived this. Let me show you. Maybe that's a year. Maybe that's a week. Whatever that is. What a blessing. You know from whom you have learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. Paul's saying, you know the truth. You know the truth, despite the craziness around you, despite literally the constant deception happening to the new birthed church. You know the truth, and you can be the leader in the truth. ACC, there is not a doubt in my mind that from this stage, every single week, from Miles and whoever else holds this microphone, that you have heard the truth. You have heard the truth. You're responsible now for the truth. You are carriers. It is like the package has been delivered. You signed off, and now you're delivering it to the rest of the world, and it's your responsibility. We can't be the people that get the package lost on the way. And we can't be the people that take it to our house and keep it for ourselves. Okay? So Paul is saying, hey, you know the truth. And if you want to live a godly life, you're going to go through it too. I promise you that. But Paul is saying here, don't stop. Continue. You can't imagine the hardships that are going to come to you, Timothy. You cannot even begin to imagine, but you know the truth, and so you cannot stop. Can you imagine if Paul writes this letter and Timothy stops doing what he's doing? Just says, oh, I read that list. Can't handle that. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. Yet God would have used someone else, and we probably wouldn't be reading about Timothy. But can you imagine? Paul is saying, I know what's coming for you. I know that God has so much for you, but I'm here as your road warning sign. I'm the flashing sign going, hey, just so you know, this is what's coming. But I need you. And more than I need you, the church needs you. And more than the church needs you, God wants you to continue. He wants you to be a part of the story. And so Paul emphasizes here that all scripture is God-breathed. And this is where we kind of land the plane today. In our modern day church, there's so many good books, man. You go to Lifeway, you look on Amazon, you go wherever you buy books. And there's so much good stuff out there. People have written amazing books that point you to Christ, that help you grow in your walk with the Lord, that help you with biblical finances and biblical counseling and emotionally healthy spirituality. And they're amazing books. That's good stuff. Paul's saying, hey, you know the God stuff. There's good stuff and there's God stuff. And God stuff, there's only one copy. It's right here. It's the Bible. And so Paul's saying, hey, you've known this. You know the word. And this is what's so cool. So at this time, when Paul's writing this, they didn't have the full canon of scripture. They didn't have this wonderfully fake leather brown Bible to go into the New Testament and go, oh my goodness, that's so cool. I can study that and I can know that in Philippians and Colossians. No. They had the Old Testament. When's the last time you read the Old Testament? Not when Miles was teaching on it. I mean, we got to be honest with ourselves. Paul is saying, hey, you know the scripture that's able to make you wise for salvation. He's talking about the Old Testament. We're not talking about felt boards in the Sunday school anymore. What we're talking about is eternal, life-changing scripture. From the Old Testament. Can I say that again? Like literally, so many of our Bibles are really worn, but only about that much. I'm right there with you. I am right there with you. But look how much is left. Look how much is left. Timothy is going, Paul is telling to Timothy, hey, look, you know the scriptures. And I think it's just challenging to us to go, hey, Jesus is in between every line. This is not about you, and it's not about me. Like, we put on the goggles of selfishness, even wanting to be like Christ, and going, God, show me, teach me. And God's going, I just want to show you my son, and I want to teach you about my son, because I need you to look like him to be effective in this world. And so the Old Testament anticipates Christ, and the New Testament explains him. That's simple. It's just simple. The Old Testament anticipates Christ, points to Christ. He is the new and better version of everything in the Old Testament. And then the New Testament, we get to see his life, and it explains it. And so if you're in this room right now, I don't know who is in this room, and you have given up on Scripture. you're kind of like, hey, I can do this thing with the books that you just described. Man, I don't have to go to church to hear the word of God because I can't get anything out of it. It's archaic. And some of you in this room, you have scientific minds. You're going, no, this isn't even true. Like 28% of this scientists say isn't even fact. There's a lot of scientists that say 100% of it is. And so I just want to caution and encourage the people in this room who may not want really anything to do with Scripture for various reasons. And I want to say to you, could you just give it a try? I mean, really. Like, you've searched everywhere else anyways. Why stop before you get here? I mean, seriously, I believe that God, this is his breath to humanity. And so please don't stop before you get here. Please, just, I'm saying, like, I've been there. The doubts, the fears, the worries. And this has changed my life. Christ has changed my life. Scripture can't save you. Christ does, but you can't know Christ unless you know about him. And God reveals himself through these pages like never. I mean, it is unbelievable what God can do through this book. And so God has given us Scripture. And in his grace and his kindness, he didn't just say, hey, I'm going to give you everything you need. I'm going to give you breath in your lungs. I'm going to give you a house to live in. I'm going to give you clothes. I'm going to give you some food. No, he literally said, hey, here is my breath. I give this to you so that you can breathe it in, so that you can literally live. And I was challenged by the Lord this week to read Isaiah 55, 6 through 11. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. I want to pause there real quick. Isaiah says, while he may be found. There is a day coming when it's too late. God is available today in this room. Today is the day for salvation. And so if you're here and you're questioning, please lean in with us because God is here and there's nothing separating you in Christ Jesus. So seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Amen. But this is the part that we need to hear. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Amen. That is a promise from our Maker. And so if you are here today and you have been following Jesus for 50 years or 15 minutes, this is a source, your source, my source of life and breath. God is saying, I have given you my breath. Now breathe it in because it's right here. I got a call 2 weeks ago. From my dad. I had known my mom had been struggling with some sickness. They said she had a viral infection. And they just said, you know what they tell you about viral infection. You just got to drink water, drink fluids, and let it do its thing. You're like, seriously? I paid $45 for you to tell me that? Anyways, I'm not bitter about that. So my mom thinks she's got a viral infection. So they just kind of let it play out. She had a fever for 3 weeks. It never went below 100. And at some point, it doesn't take a degree to go, something's wrong, and it's not just a viral infection. Like, so we need something else to go on. And there are doctors in this room, you're like, you're a fool. I'm like, I'm just saying what I know, okay? And so I get a call. We're at a small group, and my dad's like, hey, I'm taking your mom to the hospital. I'm like, oh my goodness, like what's going on? I had just had dinner with her a few days before that at Chili's. I mean, we had been to the mountaintop. Like, what's wrong? All sickness is healed there. Like, what's going on? That's not true. Okay, obviously. So I'm like, hey, what's going on? He just said, I'm taking your mom to the hospital. She's real sick. Can't breathe. She's shutting down. I'm like, oh my. Okay. So we're at our small group and we pray and whatnot. Then I get a text from my mom that says, hey, headed to critical care unit. Very scared. I'm like, you can't just send me a text like that. Like, what's going on? So I call my dad again. He's like, it's not great. So I go up the next morning, early the next morning. I go straight to the hospital, and I walk in, and my mom looks terrible. Now, you have to understand, my mom is like a superhero, okay? Just superhero. I've never met a mom like her on planet Earth. She worked three jobs growing up so I could play travel soccer, so that my sister could do what she wanted to do. Always sacrifice, never complain. So I walk into this room and I'm like, I'm not showing it because I've got to be strong, but in my mind I'm thinking, I've never seen my mom like this. She sounds scared for the first time in her life. Like, superheroes can't be scared. And so she's laying there, and my sister comes into town from Memphis, and we're sitting in the hospital room, and she looks at us. She said, I got to be honest with you. I can't hide this from you. She said, I almost died last night. She said, the doctors said that if I had waited a few more hours, I would have literally died at home if we had not come to the hospital. And, you know, the son in me is like, what? Why didn't you tell me that? Like, I could have done something. I probably would have made it worse. And she's telling me, yeah, we were this close to having a funeral for my mom. And there are people in this room who have had funerals for their parents, and so I don't want to say anything offensive there, but I am so thankful that we didn't have to have one for my mom. But the biggest problem with her at the hospital was that her oxygen levels had gotten so low. I'm not making this up. Her oxygen levels, you're supposed to be around 98%. They had gotten to 81%. And so she was literally suffocating. She had terrible pneumonia and bacterial infection in both of her lungs. And so she literally couldn't breathe. She was stuck, hooked up to oxygen for days. She spent about 6 days in the hospital. It's miraculous. So many of you prayed, and I do want to thank you, by the way. It was incredible to see her recovery. But she literally was suffocating. And what the hospital had to do was give her pure oxygen, literally going straight into her lungs, breathing on it day and night. I think you see where this is going. By the way, we call her Lil Wheezy now. She's recovering. She's recovering. But changed her name on my phone from Mom to Lil Wheezy. It's amazing. She likes it. She always wanted to be a rapper. So literally, though, she had to have oxygen day and night, night and day, and they had to keep giving her more and more, and that's what kick-started her body back into recovery. But she had been sick for so long that it's going to take a long time for her to get back to full strength. And for some of us in this room, it's been so long since we have tasted fresh oxygen. And we have been suffocating, and our oxygen levels have been going down since the day that we knew Christ for the first time. And so Paul is saying right now in this moment, Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed. It is breath to you. You need it. In a world like I just described, you need fresh breath. I mean, we all know the people in our lives who have stinky breath. I mean, you know, that person just popped into your mind. You literally like, oh my goodness, like I have to stand to the side of this person and try. And by the end of the conversation, you've gone around them because they keep turning their head to talk to you. And you're like, I can't stand it. Like, gum is cheap, y'all. Gum is cheap. Okay, we're going to start providing mints because some of y'all, we got to do something about that. But the world around us is breathing in pollution. polluted air. This is not an environmental talk. Everybody calm down. But seriously, there's some stinky breath in this world as far as doctrine, theology, straight up disbelief and assaults against Jesus Christ. And so Paul is saying, hey, for you to continue, Timothy, continue, ACC, continue in what you're doing. For you to do that, though, you got to get that oxygen and you have to breathe it in. And so I think in this scripture, there's really two things before we go that I think the life connected to the word benefits from, that God does through his word in the life of the believer. The first is this: God's word breathes life. God's word breathes life. He says, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus. The word reveals the word. In the beginning was the word. This is capital W, by the way. In the beginning was the word, Jesus, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So Jesus has been there from the beginning. So don't tell me the Old Testament doesn't have Jesus in it, because he was there in the beginning. And he is revealed throughout Scripture. There are stories from all over the world of people being converted to being followers of Jesus by simply being given a Bible. I'm serious. Like, people have literally read the Scriptures for themselves with hardened hearts. And God has melted those hearts, and they have followed Jesus and have given their lives for him simply because they read the Bible. Like, they didn't need the North American Mission Board to come set up some camps, do some sports thing, some do this. Those are fantastic. We do that all over the world. We're going to Ghana in March, and we're going to be doing that. They just needed the word of God to have life. And so God's word breathes life. Jesus said this in Matthew. He said, it is written. He's quoting scripture here, by the way. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We can't just live on bread. Y'all, I tried to live on bread. I was a husky kid. I tried. I was like, God, I'm going to test you on that. I'm going to try to live on bread alone. And I did. You can see the pictures. But as God discipled me through Weight Watchers and discipleship groups, you think I'm kidding. Summer between 6th and 7th grade, I did Weight Watchers with my mom. I was like, I'll try it too, Mom. And it worked. Anyways, so as I was discipled more and more by people in my life who had built a legacy of faith for me, I knew that bread alone, listening to sermons, reading other books, I love reading, going to seminary wasn't going to cut it. It had to be this breath, the very word of God. A body without breath in its lungs is dead. I mean, if you literally depleted the oxygen in your lungs right now, you and I, it would take seconds for us to suffocate. And so the question is, are you connected to the oxygen? Do you spend your time in this word? You see, this isn't the how-to talk about how to read that. Miles has done that many times for us, and we will continue to do that. Our last church at home was about that. This isn't the how-to, but this is the why we do this, because it is life. Jesus is life, and he is revealed to us here. So the first thing is God's word breathes life. The second is this: God's word builds confidence. It builds confidence. You may be thinking, what? Is this about to be a pep talk? No. Just look at it. All scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Plain and simple, scripture teaches, rebukes, corrects, and trains. Why? To make us ready for every good work. Paul's saying, hey, spiritually speaking, like, it brings you life, and it is the breath of God. Practically speaking, it's useful. It's useful. The reason you and I don't share the gospel with people is because we are unequipped to do so. Christ himself, in the various temptations that Satan took him through, that he experienced in the wilderness through his ministry, what was Christ's number one weapon against the enemy? Scripture. So I would propose that you and I probably need it too. If the Savior of the world's weapon is the Word, I think we need it too. And this isn't the, oh, you need to read your Bible more. Like, read it. New Morning Mercies. If you don't listen to a podcast about Scripture, you're not a Christian. Like, no. No. But you are missing out. I just want to say, you're missing out on a confidence. You're missing out on a hope. You're missing out on literal equipment to walk into a world that wants to destroy you. And so we must know his word. Oh, man, someone said this recently and it challenged me. If you're not in the word, you're dry. If you're dry, all people get is dust. And people don't need dust, they need breath. And so often I work from a place of dustiness. And I get lost in my job as a pastor at a church. And I get lost and away from the breath and the living water and the bread that never runs out, the well that never runs dry. And I know you do too. Like, can we just be brother and sister here and be honest? Like, we get away from it and we get down on ourselves and we beat ourselves up because we're not connected to our only source of confidence. We need to be taught. As we read God's word, we're literally taught. Like, God is like, hey, here's the history of my people. Here's my character. Look at what I've done for thousands of years. Look at the creation that I've breathed into being. Know my son. Here's, like, know facts about him. Know his ministry. I'm teaching you here. We read God's word, we're rebuked. Some of you are like, what does that mean? Just showing us the error of our ways. Like, you and I have gone left. God's like, nope, rebuke. You need to go right. You need to go right. Like, here's a blind spot. Here's a blind spot. Scripture shows you your blind spots. I try to make it a habit to sit down with someone every so often. Someone I trust, someone who I know they love me and I love them. Say, hey, is there anywhere in me that you see that's a blind spot that I'm not seeing right now? Because there's things about you, believe it or not, that you can't see. And that's why God has given you a community around you. And so God's word rebukes you. But the beauty is God never stops there. He keeps going. God's word corrects you. So it shows me the blind spot, but then it shows me the correct path. Hey, you messed up, Matt. Gosh, sometimes I feel like God's like, oh, I love you. You're so dumb. Like, I really do feel like that happens at times. Really, because I am at times. That's my wife. And so God corrects me in kindness and grace. It is his kindness that leads us to repentance. So please, this is a side note. If you're the kind of person that's not kind to people, stop, because you are the bad breath we're talking about. So let your kindness show people God's love and grace. And then God's word, it just trains us. All of this leads to training in righteousness so that we be equipped to do what God has called us to do. I will end with this. I remember in college, my first love was the drums, playing the drums. And that's how I got into worship music, was playing the drums. And I had an opportunity to play the drums at a NASCAR race with a country band. Yeah, no one in here is excited about that. And that's awesome. Like, you shouldn't be. NASCAR and country are like, if NASCAR ever failed, country music sales would go way down. And if country music ever failed, like, no one would go to NASCAR races. So it's like the two go together. Anyway, so I had the opportunity to go play drums with a country band at Charlotte, the big, big raceway in Charlotte, if you know anything about it. It was awesome. We had 35 songs that we had to learn, front and back. Being the young, humble guy I was, I learned five. and was like, I'm going to be good, man. It's country music. It sounds the same. Every single song sounds the same. Well, sure enough, they didn't appreciate that attitude. And so I got kicked out of the band. Literally. The guy was like, text me, hey, we're going to go in a different direction. And in music, that means you were terrible. We're getting somebody else. And so I didn't play at the NASCAR event. Praise God. He saves me from the pit of hell in that moment. So thankful for that. But the idea there is that I was so not prepared. I thought I could wing it. I had confidence that was not founded on actual preparedness. I thought I could make it up. And for you and I, we cannot make it up. We cannot share the word if we don't know the word. You can't literally go back. When's the last time I was in my grandmother's bathroom? What was on the wall? The stitch thing. John 3:16. Yeah, that's it. Go to church. See you there. We can't do that. We have to know the word to share the word. There are opportunities all around you. I have stopped praying for opportunities. I have started praying that God would let me see the opportunities around me. And so to you and I here at ACC 2018, there are opportunities around you and around me to see people transformed, to see the scales fall off eyes, to see hearts melted before the Lord of all creation. But are we equipped? Do we have the confidence to do that? It's available. God has breathed out his life into us. He has said, hey, find confidence on my word and go and do it. But you can't do for God before you are with God. You have to be with God before you can do anything for him. And so the invitation is there, church. Please do not feel discouraged. Today is hope. Like, you have access to God. He, through Jesus Christ, gives you his spirit to understand, to know, to soak in this word, to feast on it. I'm not kidding. I pray in Jesus' name that we would understand the opportunity that's in front of us right here. It's right now. It's right here. I'm going to ask the band to come up here. As we go back into worship, I want to share just two verses with you out of Psalms. It said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If we don't have it in our hearts, there's no telling what we're capable of. And so we need it. We need it that we might not sin against you, Father. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Oh, that we wouldn't be a people that walk in darkness when a lamp is just right there. Jesus prayed this in John 17. This is a prayer for us. Like, literally, Jesus was praying for those who would follow him. He says this, Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Our Savior, our only hope, the way to salvation, prayed for us that we would be sanctified by the truth. He's given it to us. His word is truth. And so, church, today there is hope in Christ. You can know him. He is available. He is not far away. And I promise you, if you begin to get in a rhythm, in a pace of reading God's word and breathing in his breath, it will never return void. It will always accomplish the purpose for which God sent it, for us to know his love, to be loved by him, and to make him known in a world around us. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this time.
Thank you for listening to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. If you or someone you know has been impacted by the ministry of ACC, we want to invite you to share your story with us by emailing us at mystory@auburncommunitychurch.com. We encourage you to keep up with all God is doing at ACC by following along on Instagram, Facebook, and our website, auburncommunitychurch.com.